Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay here for Full Time Devils. This is the Full Time Devils podcast, and we have reached a milestone. We are now up to episode 30, which is obviously the same age as me and Webby. Webby is joining me today. Webby, good to have you back on.
Good afternoon, sir.
And also joining us from that United family, it's Carl Edgar. Carl, welcome again. Good to have you on again as well.
Thanks for having me.
And we may have a cameo from someone who's stuck.
That old chestnut changing
tires. We'll wait and see if that happens before we start bragging about it, before we start pushing it and saying it's going to happen. Guys, we're recording this, filming this the day after the England game. First of all, we're going to talk about a little bit about the England game. I know none of us are massive England fans, so we won't dwell on it too much. The most important thing for me, Marcus Rashford getting a goal and playing really well. Okay, it was against a poor Bulgaria team, if we're being brutally honest. But he had a good game and he looked comfortable. Webby, I'll start with you. What did you make of Marcus and, I suppose, Maguire as well? We'll start with Marcus. What did you make of Marcus's performance?
Do you want the truth?
Go on.
Didn't see a ball.
Right, there we go. That's that covered. Cheers, Webby.
I was cleaning next door's car. As I do with every England game.
Cleaning
not interested,
cars,
not bothered.
Cleaning next door's car.
Cleaning next door's car, not bothered. Sorry about that, folks, but there's two teams for me, United and United Reserves. And then, Just got no bothered, not bothered.
Is that a euphemism, by the way? I was cleaning next door's car, or is that what you're actually doing?
I do every time England play.
All right, I thought I didn't know.
He's Scottish as well. Exactly. So he gets a double
clean next door's car, you know what I mean? It might mean you're leaving bricks.
No, I don't. Jeez. You know my quick story, when I worked for United, I went down with the players, and then United had 6-7 players on the pitch, and a full crowd at Wembley, stand up if you hate Man U. That day for me, the national team went to heaven. Thank you.
Fair enough. I'm sort of with you. I'm not a massive England fan. I did watch him join a World Cup, and I will watch now and again. It was on last night. There was nothing else on. Missus was out. I thought Saka.
Carry On Camping was on, Jay.
That's a classic film. Hey, that's a good one, isn't it?
Fiddler.
Yes. Is that one where...
Welcome to Paradise.
Yeah, Babs wins at finest.
Classic.
Carl's shaking his head. He hasn't got a jar of glue, what we're on about.
I have not, mate.
Carl, did you watch the England game?
No. But
right.
I do...
Tell you what, this is insightful analysis of the England match.
Top analysis. I don't watch it. I rarely ever watch a full game.
If you don't watch it,
I always catch up on like the goals and the highlights, you know, the clips on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah,
I won't not watch the highlights.
Well, I didn't watch the other one the other week. Czech Republic. I didn't watch that, but I...
Did they play?
Bulgaria.
No, I mean last week.
It was Czech Republic the week last week.
Did you win?
No, they got beat.
Oh. We actually did get beat, yeah. 2-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2-1. But he won 6-0. Marcus Rashford got a goal. He was on the left-hand side.
I said, did he start on the left?
Of a front three. So it was him, Kane and Sterling. He was on the left. He scored a good goal. Not only did he score a good goal, he played well. He links up well with the others. He was getting down the left wing, pinging in some nice balls as well. Yes, Bulgaria were piss poor, but Marcus played well. And before the game, I tweeted, you know, he needs a rest. And obviously, I was an egg on my face because he scored about 2 minutes later.
That's a wonder.
He's been a good team at Bulgaria a few years back, you know. World Cup semi final, then
Stoichkov and all that.
Stoichkov and then Berber,
yeah. I think they're far removed from those glory days. They were
obviously. I've not seen any match, but I've seen what happened.
Yeah, I mean, we have to talk about it. Unfortunately, it's still going on. We know it is racism. There was racist chanting last night. Bulgarian fans, as probably everyone who's listening to this must know, you must have buried in a cave if you've not heard about this. UEFA, I think, was implementing this new rule where it's almost like three strikes and you're out.
Right.
So the first strike, forgive me if I've got this wrong, I'm not all favour of it all, but it's more or less a warning, or the coach gets told about it if it's racist chanting is reported. Then there's an announcement over the tannoy, warning, which is what it got to last night. And then the third warning, well, there isn't a third, I think the third is the game's abandoned.
Right. But wasn't they already serving a ban?
Because there was
loads of it closed off because of it.
Whether it would have been full is another matter of fact, but with England in town, you normally get a full stadium, don't you?
Yeah.
Everyone's playing, but it's each time you read about it and you think it's going away, and it's not going away, you know. And I've seen the clips this morning, and it's disgraceful, you know, it's disgraceful. Obviously, I'm not an England fan, but whoever's team playing, then I noticed they had a player in their team, so what does that say for what does that do for them?
Yeah,
you know, it's sad world. And I seen a comment about the Brentner thing again, about his sponsor on his shorts, and that was treble the fine that he's got done for making monkey noises. UEFA have got a massive problem. Someone's got to be hit hard and maybe get kicked out of the tournament, or a team gets banned for so many years. But would that stop it? You know.
Well, this is the thing, right? And everyone was sort of, after the game, people were talking about it on analysis. Ian Wright was on the analysis. And I like what Ian Wright said. He said that, you know, when he was playing, and Webby, you'll probably relate to this from going into football in the 80s and 90s, early 90s anyway, you say...
And the fucking 70s.
And the 70s, you know, you're on that one, mate. But he said his generation of players were like Martin Luther King. He said this generation are more like Malcolm X. So what he meant by that was his generation, the likes of Ian Wright, Cyril Regis, Viv Anderson, Laurie Cunningham and all them lot, Remy Moses, who you know well, they sort of were expected or had to almost put up with it and turn a blind eye and just get on with the game and not react to it. That was a sort of expectation in the 80s.
I'll always remember the game at Old Trafford, and it's a pointed game, yeah. West Bromwich Albion, you know. And Gerald Sinstad actually said on commentary about the racism coming from the Manchester United fans, it's probably one of the best games you probably see at Old Trafford.
Is this a 5-3, was it?
Man United 3, West Bromwich Albion 5, you know, and a great game of football, but spoilt by that. And the commentator saying it, and you don't think with it being at United, but if you speak to the likes of Sam Smart and Coco, God rest his soul, they actually got abused on the terraces on it to go and watch their team, and they stuck with it. Some other lads could have just backdoored it, never gone to Old Trafford again, but they stuck with it and stuck with it and stuck with it. And unfortunately, it's still about. I heard it the other week at Old Trafford, you know, and I couldn't get to him, but I knew where it was coming from, and it was a racist remark, and it was like it went over everyone's head, you know, and it's.
There's just no need for it, is there? There is need for anyone to discriminate against, you know, colour, race, religion. Do you know what I mean? There's no room for it anywhere. And it's sad to see that, you know, 2019, you got pretty much a stadium full of Bulgarian fans. Everywhere, like people just shouting racist remarks at players for, you know, misplacing a pass or, you know.
Some good friends from Bulgaria, big United fans, very good friends. And one of them texted me last night. I read it this morning. I'm really sorry about it. So it was like he was apologising for his own. You know, I could see the upset in his text, and he's over Saturday, he's over Friday for the game. He probably comes to say 80% of the home games. You know, that's a proper fan for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not cheap. We're quite lucky. Yeah. We're very lucky. Not quite lucky. We're very lucky.
Very lucky.
And he was apologising for his country. And at first, I didn't have a scoop what he was going on about. And then until I seen it on the news. People speaking about it in work this morning. Sad day for football.
It is sad. And going back to what I mean, you mentioned there about the dark days of the 70s and the 80s, and what Ian Wright was saying now is sort of players don't have to put up with that. And players have got more power where if they don't think they're not happy with that, then I think it's only a matter of time before we start seeing players walk off the pitch. I think it's getting to that point, which, you know, you might have different views on that. One sort of thing I would say, if I came into work and I was racially abused, I'd go home.
Yeah, of course you would.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't stay in work thinking, oh yeah, I'll just take this on the chin. So just because you're getting paid a lot of money doesn't mean that should be any different. It's a nonsense. You shouldn't have to listen to that. But just one thing before you get, I do think as well, there's a lot of back patting going on amongst like the English press and all the rest of it, and it's, you know, what Bulgaria did was wrong, and the English players handled it superbly, especially, you know, the way that Tan Heung-min said, listen, I'm not having that, pointed it out. The players obviously carried on performing and tore Bulgaria apart. But, you know, we have to get our own house in order as well. It's no good just pointing a finger and going at Bulgaria. You know, you look at it, we had, what was it, 4 match bans, I think, John Terry got when he got done for racism. Mm-hmm. Suarez, I think he got an 8-match ban. But if you look at the way Evra or look at the way Anton Ferdinand were treated, you know, we've seen banana skins thrown on the pitch. Millwall, I think they got a 10-grand mm-hmm. fine for a whole stand of racist chanting. So it's not just about Bulgaria, or obviously last fight on Monday night their fans were disgraced by and large, but you know, it goes on. We all know it's still going on in the Premier League, unfortunately. I think we need to get a grip of that.
Wasn't a bit ago, get me if I'm wrong, was it an Italian player went to walk off and he got booked?
Italy's got its issues.
Well, I was reading this morning, the match commander was Italian from last night's game, who was in charge from UEFA. No, he should be right on it. Yeah. He should be right on it. I've seen that Lukaku thing, you know, that was absolutely disgraceful, you know. And I wouldn't blame these players walking off, but then they're going to get hammered.
Yeah.
You know, how much can you take? Like saying, if you was in work, you come in here and someone that you wouldn't stay here for 5 minutes, you'd be off home.
I think there's sort of the point, I think, I can't remember who made it last night. I think it might have been Lee Dixon, who was on commentary, or it might have been Ian Wright, or it might have been Keane, or one of them anyway, said, if you're going to walk off, you need to walk off together.
Yeah, of course.
It can't just be one or two.
You know,
if
that happened at, say, Old Trafford on Sunday, you wouldn't expect just to see, you know, Marcus Rashford walk off on his own. Or
no.
And Wan-Bissaka. Yeah, everyone is together. So it's like, you can't just say, well, it's one player. It's like, no, we're not having it. Because let's face facts, if you went into work and your mate was getting a load of grief, you'd be off, right?
Okay. Exactly, yeah.
You wouldn't just say, well, it's not now to do, mate. So, yeah, it is sort of still it's still going on. UEFA are trying this. I hope it has an effect. I hope that...
What's the answer, lads? What's going to make people sit down and say, listen, enough is enough?
I think...
Is it throwing a team out?
Yeah.
I think that's got to be it. Yeah. Throwing a team out and, you know, and I seen in the paper this morning that their captain went over to the...
Yeah, he had a word with
him. You know, he shouldn't have to do that. He's concentrating on the game, trying to get his team... I think that's the only thing they do. UEFA have got to have the balls to say, listen, your team are not playing the next two competitions.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know yourself, Webby, and I sort of saw a little bit of this, and you were talking about some of the lads there that have went before us, you know, Sam and Coco. You got to a point where at Old Trafford, if someone was doing that, they'd get pulled up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like someone like...
But not so much in the... early 70s, I think. Everyone used to laugh at you.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember going as late 70s, early 80s, a little kid from Clayton with a big afro, getting absolutely abused and ready to turn me back on football.
Yeah.
Then I thought, no. And then you'd see someone else in the ground and they'd come closer to your next game, and then that 2 or 3 become 9, 10, 11, 12, and then it just seemed to drift. And you got the odd occasion, you know. And that the other week, I forget what match it was, I think it was a Leicester game against that kid with a big hair.
Chowdhury.
Yeah. So almost slaughtered the United fan. I couldn't, he was about 8 rows behind. I was dying to get up and join him.
Yeah.
And then I get nicked, lose my season ticket, and he goes away scot-free. But there's people around him who like distance himself, you know, and it was such a way.
That's sort of, you know, an example of how it's changing now. If you are doing something like fans around you, it's not their job to police it, but they will say something, they won't have anything to do with it. And I think that's you know, what the attitude has got to change. And fans as well, if they know they're going to get chucked out of a competition and someone's doing that, they're probably going to pull them on it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It's sad that there will be like your mate from Bulgaria who's got nothing to do with it, who could end up missing out and seeing his team playing a competition. But, you know, fines, stadium bans, all cutting
it's
off, that it's not working.
It's not working. No, I think it needs to start, like, I think big companies like UEFA and FIFA, they overlook it, but not overlook it as such, but I think they go with the mindset, right, the footballers, Does that make sense? Oh, they're footballers, they get paid loads of money, they should just deal with it. And that's not the case, because at the end of the day, they're me and you, they're human beings. Yeah. You know,
some of them are only kids as well, aren't they?
Exactly. And it's, it must affect them. They must go home and feel, I know they all post on, like, the whole England team last night posted, you know, great game, well done, boys, but racism, you know, stand together, blah, 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 which is nice to see, but it's got to affect the young lads. Like Rashford, like, you know what you say, he's only 21. He's got to go home and go, oh, this is shit. Do you know what I mean?
Is it worth the hassle?
Exactly.
Is it worth the hassle? That's what it'll come to.
Jadon Sancho mentioned something about it, didn't he, a few weeks ago, and I think he got John Barnes giving him a bit of grief for it, but he was saying, I don't think he was saying about quitting football, but maybe like walking off and, you know, if he put with it, you know, why should you have to listen to that? And I think he was right to do that. And it was good to hear young players talking out about it.
I like Raheem Sterling as well. Raheem Sterling's very, like, proactive in trying to stop he always comes out and says the right things, and he goes about it the right way.
I think sometimes when they come out and say it, you get the absolute clowns, i.e. social media, start hammering them, you know. And it makes, you know, you look at that United fan who attacked him and racially abused him outside the training ground. I was absolutely angered that clown had probably been inside Old Trafford maybe once. But for him to do that, you know, it's naughty, you know. So,
says
like
saying
someone's got to be done. Someone's got to be made. Even if it's like that, apparently there's a group of fans of 50 or 60
in
the main culprits. And then reading again, going on, it was still carrying on after they left. Not as bad, but there's still elements in the other stands where it's doing. So I think UEFA, FIFA, I've got to have the balls to hit one country and say, listen, we're just not having it.
Yeah.
Simple. Mm. There we go.
Anyway. On to happier things. Yeah, if I can say that, not really. Sunday, feeling confident?
I said the other week, we won't get beat, you know. Mm. We won't get beat. As a United fan, I would do no more. I'd give everything to be on that pitch Sunday.
Yeah.
Now, if people can't get up for Liverpool...
The way Aranjuez is going, take your boots, you might get a crack.
No, we'll be all right
for Sunday. We'll
be all right for Sunday. But these players have got to show passion, pride, balls.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, and I hate saying it, Liverpool are a fucking good team now, and it hurts me saying it.
Well, they're the European champions, whichever way you look at it, and they've won 17 on the trot, so I don't think there's any revelation.
The last couple of games have been very, very unfortunate.
They look a bit ropey at the back, aren't they, as well, at the minute?
Very, very fortunate they have been the last couple of games. So we've got to go to this game, forget about the league position, it's Manchester United versus Liverpool. If we were bottom and they were second bottom, it'd still be the biggest game in the world.
Just as that said, there might be a cameo from someone, and he's just in time. We've spoken about the nonsense I forgot to say that actually. We had a bit in the dark because
it's Halloween,
and we're on it. One of the lights. Cal's done his bit with the lights, but
we haven't put a fiver in the meter.
Yeah, we haven't put a fiver in the meter. We're on a budget here. We've spoken about last night.
Get
all that
your
nonsense.
Super chats in. We need electric.
Yes. Straight in with that, Macca. Well done, lad. We spoke about last night and all that nonsense, and now we're on to the happier times of Liverpool this Sunday. Webby thinks we're going to win.
I just don't think we'll
It'd
get
be
beat.
Typical, wouldn't it?
I just don't think we'll get beat, mate. Because I was just saying before you joined us, pal, that if you can't get up for this match, you ought to call it a day. You don't want to be at the club. Now, hopefully, with a few of the injured players back, so back to what which is his best team, then I think we can get at Liverpool. But we've got to be at the races, mate. If we're not at the races, and we play like we did at Newcastle and previous to that, mate, we could be behind
the chair. It feels like that time we played Chelsea, remember, when Fletch scored the header 1-0.
Yes. Yes.
And we were a bit better then.
Yeah, and also Chelsea was probably the same amount
top team, weren't they?
And not been beat, you know.
And we beat the header.
We
got absolutely battered that game.
But, lads, if we can't get up for Liverpool, the players cannot get up for Liverpool.
I think the most important thing is you look at Anthony Martial's back in training. Marcus Rashford scored this week. You look at Paul Pogba potentially back. Shaw, Wan-Bissaka.
Wan-Bissaka back, possibly.
The way Manchester United played, I think earlier in the season, Wan-Bissaka was the man that was touching the ball the most.
Yeah.
And I think that you find fullbacks in football have become possibly the most important position. You no longer have natural wingers in a game.
Yeah.
Wingers are dead.
Unfortunately.
I think since 4-4-2's gone, you haven't really gotten out and out winger. You're part of a front three, or you're a wing back. And then anybody else wants to be a number 10. I remember when everyone wanted to be a winger back in the day.
Yeah.
And then everyone kind of fell into this, oh, I want to be a number 10. You remember Januzaj, Andreas Pereira, like all these players that you know, you just think, what are they? They haven't really got a position. And where was I going with that? I don't know where I was going.
Just about the fact that, you know, players are back.
Yeah, we've got players back. It's important. It's important to have those players back, especially Aaron Wan-Bissaka going forward. Luke Shaw, I'm not too sure of. Did you see that Spencer video?
Would you play Shaw?
Spencer FC's video on Sky.
No, I've not seen it.
Happy birthday to me.
It's the one where he spent
600 million. We still got Luke Shaw at left back.
Come on.
No Martial, Rashford starting. It's like, Spencer. I love it. I love Webby. Uncle Webby's like,
you know that? Just on that internet. On that internet. Hey, who's this?
No, but Declan Rice, 100 million. There's a video on Squawker, right?
Declan Rice. There was a video on
Squawker, right? There was a video on Squawker, right? And the bloke, will it get pulled if I play their audio?
It might be. Plug Squawker, check him out. There you go.
Yeah, it's fine. There you go. No, you don't want to check him out. They're talking to mentalists.
All right, okay.
I'm kidding. But they are talking.
Gas drink water. They are talking to mentalists.
And the guy basically said he's the best player he's ever seen.
Who's that?
Declan Rice.
Who said this?
Who's that?
Some West Ham fan.
Was he sat in the gutter covered in his own urine at the time?
So, do we know all this bloke was from West Ham?
He said he's better than Bobby Moore.
Call the police.
Well, hang on a minute. No, wait a minute. Just tell you what, right? Bobby Moore was overrated.
Bobby Moore was a pet and Declan Rice, mate. You can be overrated whatever you want.
Nobby Styles gave Bobby Moore a career.
Let's not forget, right? Alf Ramsey was thinking of dropping Bobby Moore for the 66 final. Do you know that for Norman Hunter? But anyway.
Yeah, but he's not.
Let's be real. If Duncan Edwards never passed, God bless his soul.
God bless him. Lifting that trophy. We'd have a statue of him outside.
Well, we wouldn't, would we? No. They wouldn't build a statue to a bloke from the Midlands.
Do you know what I said to my missus after one the cup final once? Meet me at the Bobby Moore statue. She couldn't find it. An hour and a half we'd be looking for each other.
No, certainly.
It would have helped if you went to the Bobby Moore statue.
I was on the coach on the way home.
Looking over the years at West Ham, obviously not won a bowl of soup since 70 odd of this, you know that.
You know, 81 won it.
Well, whatever. They've had some decent players, you know. Di Canio was good in his time, you know. They've had Love decent Di players.
Bonds,
Lampard. They had good players, Alvin Martin. But to say Declan Rice is better,
this is an elderly West Ham fan and has watched Bobby Moore and watched Declan Rice. And he's come to the conclusion that Declan Rice, it was better. He's better than Bobby Moore was.
I'll tweet the video.
Listen, I was only, you know.
I'll tweet the video. I'm sure Squawker will copyright my tweet.
That's just a sort of clickbait drivel that people come out with, isn't it? Do you know?
But I think people start to believe these things.
They do, you know. And I've not seen a lot of that kid. He looks half decent, but don't start mentioning him about in that caliber.
Well,
that's
not put much pressure on him anyway. You know what I mean?
We will get
back to. He's worth 100 million, and he's better than Bobby Moore. So, no
just
doubt.
Just write him off now.
Forget about West Ham, the bubble boy.
I know, grown men blowing bubbles.
You're talking about, we were talking about Liverpool
Nick
game.
Like that.
And there's an interesting article in The Athletic. You are friends of the channel.
Is this a plug?
Yes, it is. Did you like how smooth they did that? You can't even tell.
Segway.
I've actually got a piece of paper in my hand. No, if you don't know about The Athletic, where have you been for the past 6 months? A lot of the sort of most prominent football writers have joined The Athletic. It is the new home of football writing. Daniel Taylor, I think, just announced he joined this week. We knew that was happening anyway. David Ornstein's there. Laurie Whitwell, who we've had on the show, Mac has interviewed him a few times, has joined. As Andy Mitten, I think, is writing for him. Loads of writers for him anyway.
Orny,
David Ornstein, he's on there.
You know what? Basically, they're signing up all the good ones, and then Neil Costis is just
He's looking with his nose against the glass at The Athletic office, going, I don't like you anyway, you old bunch of twats. It's all rubbish, yeah.
I remember, carry on with your plug.
Yeah,
no,
sorry. Yeah, let's
I was going to go into a Neil Costis story.
Don't worry, we're having to do this again next week. but yeah, we've been interviewing Laurie Whitwell from The Athletic. He's done a recent article. He did a really good one, I think with Adam Crafton and a few others, about Ed Woodward. If you've not read that, you should check it out. It was actually quite scary, some of the things they found out about Ed Woodward and the sort of the way he operates and the control that he has. But they've also...
You know who I am?
Exactly, that's one of the sayings that he came out with. But I was reading something about Louis Saha, and he was talking about the passion, giving up for the Liverpool game, and also, like, you know, people give Gary Neville a lot of stick. Adam's always arguing with him.
I love Gary Neville.
But, you know, the Bessies, like really. The line-up, yeah. Really.
Just one way.
But he was saying that Gary Neville's got that sort of passion that you want from a United player, and that's what's lacking a little bit of Webby, going back to what you were saying about some of the players just not being up for it in the way they should be. And whether you agree with that or not, it was quite insightful, and it's good to hear from different opinions as well. And obviously someone like Louis Saha, who was at United not for a really long time,
Rooney's best partner, Louis Saha.
There was a time when Louis Saha really did smash it up. So we've got a deal with him, and we've got a promotion code, so you'll get 50% off your yearly subscription, which is £2.50 per month with that code. Go to theathletic.co.uk/fulltimedevils. The link is in the description, and as I've said before, they've got some great writers on there, lots of good United content and articles. So season C's apply. Check out the link in the description for this podcast, and if you're watching on YouTube, it's in the link there as well.
I'm on it.
He's all over it.
My bank card changed this week though, so I had an email off him saying like, you haven't paid yet.
But nice one.
I saw a change. I paid you. Don't worry.
Like I said, you've got all the best football writers out there. It is the home of football writing. Loads of Manchester United content, loads of Manchester United writing, football features, interviews as well. So do check it out. As I was saying, we'll talk about who's back for the Liverpool game, talk about the importance of fullbacks and how there's no wingers. One player who might fall in that category, who's been in the papers a lot this week, maybe not for good reasons as well, is Daniel James.
Daniel James.
What did you make of Concussion Gate? Which seemed to infuriate Twitter, because everyone thought
Ryan Giggs
out,
said he was acting.
Yeah.
Daniel James said he wasn't knocked out. He looked knocked the fuck out.
He looked dead, didn't he?
All I was waiting for was Smokey to stand over him and say, you got knocked the fuck out.
I love that film.
Yeah. It was.
Do you think.
If he's an actor, he's a good actor.
It was worrying if he's an actor.
I think they protected the medical team. Do I have to say allegedly around them kind of things? I don't know. Well, I just have a feeling that they...
It worries me though when he's saying it was acting and Giggs is coming out of that, because then I'm sort of thinking he's already got a bit of a name for himself.
Yeah.
And now if you're getting a name for yourself of pretending to be sparked out, you know, what worries me is if he actually does suffer an injury and the ref goes out, he's only pretending.
Do you not think it actually hurt and you just like taking his...
I don't know.
You know, just having a little bit of a lie down, thinking just gathering his thoughts and not like...
No, but it's the way he kind of... It looked like dead weight.
Yeah.
For a split second, it looked
like the Undertaker, didn't it?
Dead weight.
Unless he was out, and he's just like, no one heard.
I was just waiting for Paul Bearer to come on.
Whoever he knows.
Yeah.
But the thing is, well, obviously his first few bookings, obviously the game at Wolves where he did get fouled and got booked for diving. Sucking it's just going to go against him. Like what you said, he could get a serious injury to need medical attention, and he'd say, oh.
That's what worries me, because he's already got a little bit of reputation, which I think is unfair, but things like that.
So as Giggsy, I feel like Giggsy and James, it was kind of like, right, we're going to have to
come out with something.
Because otherwise we're in trouble here.
Didn't he call him streetwise? Giggsy come out and said
he was a bit
streetwise from Dan James. Like.
I don't know if it is streetwise.
I used to drive a Rover streetwise. That was dreadful times.
It used to be a streetwise sports in Stratford. Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was, yeah. It was the best. Short, didn't it?
Madhouse? Short
years ago. Madhouse?
I don't remember Madhouse.
Remember that coming to
the
me?
Your anglers.
We've got one now. We're in Old Trafford.
Yeah. It's in the dugout, innit? But you know what worried me about that as well is?
Yeah, but something about, have they have tests at half-time or something? Who's taking these tests?
What tests?
They have some concussion tests, don't they, at half-time to let them come back on.
Give them our team at kick-off.
Yeah, apparently some tests you have to go through to get... with UEFA or whoever's in charge to pass them and come back on. So what's happened there? So is it what Carl was saying, is he just getting his thoughts together, and you know, like yourself, you've been hurt and you're thinking a bit more time here, you don't know, but it wasn't
Tyson
that Fury
style.
Yeah,
it looked dead weight,
unless he has gone out and he's just got any it's for like a split second.
He might not know.
I don't know if it's just me liking conspiracy theories and stuff, but I feel like,
go on,
they were covering the medical team. The medical team shouldn't have let him play on. Yeah. He seemed fine for the rest of the game, but concussion's one of them, innit?
Yeah. Dangerous.
Anthony Joshua would tell you he didn't have concussion in the fight, and he should have fought on, but he clearly did have concussion.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You yourself might not realise. You might not know. Sometimes you need protecting. What worried me, though, well, not worried me, but sort of showed where we're at, was the fact that when I first saw that on Twitter, I wasn't watching the game, and I thought he could be out. It was like,
we're not fucking
devastating.
Hell.
I saw him, but he played quite well against a good Croatia side. I thought Wales did all right. Should have probably won, had the chances. Danny James, a few times. He'd beat a man final ball again.
Yeah, I know.
But if he gets that final ball, I think because of his pace, it'll be deadly. And he could be a key player against the Scouts.
Just saying that, obviously, if you look back from the first game of the season, he didn't play, he come on a sub dinner. Pereira played, Martial, Rashford. If everyone's fit, is it time we take him out? Because he's played that many. Because no one expects him to play all these games, did we?
Could be useful as a sub as well. Yes. With the way their fullbacks like to bomb forward.
But what gets me is that if he doesn't play, who's going to go in there? Because for Christ's sake, it's not Pereira. Please.
If Martial starts up top, Rashford possibly. Rashford on the left. I think he's shown that he needs to be on the left.
Yeah.
And then against Liverpool, I know Lingard's injured, but he would be the ideal player for this game. If he was in form. He's not in form.
I would have James on the right, you know.
Against Liverpool?
Yeah, I would.
So I think it's time after that to probably...
I'd have him getting down
Robinson.
There.
Yeah,
I think there's a weak... I get hammered for this. I've said it on Twitter before. I think there is a little bit of a weakness in Robertson's defensive game. Not a lot, but you can catch him out there. He's not as good defensively as Aaron Wan-Bissaka is, for example. He's just a lot better going forward.
It's the same as Trent, as well. They're both suspect.
There is a slight weakness. I don't mean he's poor defensively.
I think James the way could they get play at as well. Him.
That's yeah. You're right.
I think they play more on the front.
And if he's down the other end and James does pick up the ball, he's got a hell of a job to get back at him. Do you know what I mean? So I wouldn't mind seeing James on the right against.
It might suit him a bit better as well, because the Scousers are going to be on the front foot and they are going to push us back. It will leave space in behind.
We've just missed Martial, haven't we, man? We've missed a striker. Well,
the thing is, he's probably not ready to start, so we probably are going to be going into Rashford.
I think he'll play.
Martial?
I think he'll play.
Do you think he's just been protecting him with this game in mind rather than rushing him back?
Maybe. Because every time I've seen some posts on, he's been training and all that, so I reckon that he could be, hopefully, because we don't half miss
him. We've missed him, innit?
Fucking hell.
Didn't want to finish.
Rashford's goal was good against for England against Bulgaria.
Yeah, but why can he do that when he's playing from the left and not through the middle?
I think he's just more comfortable. I think there's partly when you're through the middle, you've got two centre halves for starters rather than one fullback. Especially when you're playing in a one striker system, you're up against two strikers. It's probably easier for them to manage you in terms of one of you marking, one of you drop off, pass him on. And I think from a wider position, he can cut inside, he can go outside. He don't have a bags of skill, Marcus Rashford, but the one thing he does have is that little chop where he'll change direction really quickly.
Really quick feet.
From a wider position, he can do that a lot. I think he is going to have to get used to that position. When you look at Sterling, Sancho, Kane for England, he's going to have to get used to playing out on the left.
Which is for
United as well, he's going to have to get used to playing out on the left.
I think if you play him, lads, I think then... Oh, if everyone's fit, he goes left.
Got it.
And he does a job there for me. Mm. And I do feel something going down the middle. And I see some criticism at Newcastle about him not getting in front of defenders, but he was getting no service.
I do see a few times, though, where he could...
make that run.
You know, be them greedy runs.
Yes.
Be a little bit alert for it. Yeah.
I think it was a couple. Dan James at Newcastle was a couple of crosses that came in that front post where Marcus could have probably made that little run in between the front post.
Part of the fact is as well. You mentioned Danny James, and not just with Daniel James, with most of our wider players, they don't know what's coming from him. You know what I mean? With a lot of players, you know what's coming. You can get set if you don't go the first time. All right, let me set and I'll go again. I remember watching Van Nistelrooy when Ronaldo used to be on the ball. He used to just be like, "Am I going? Am I running? Like, what?
Two didn't get on in it. No wonder that all boiled
over."
But it's
like you can, like, the strikers have to be. A lot of them probably don't know what ball's coming because so many times we'll hit the first man, go over the last man, go straight to the keeper. I think it's those relationships you've got to build.
This is it, man. You're right. You've got to give it a little bit of time as well. I think everyone just assumed just gel straight away. Marcus and Martial just gel straight away because they've been together for a few years, but they haven't really.
Played.
They've changed
it
so many times, and one of them. I mean, there was a time, wasn't there, under Jose where he'd swap him. It'd literally be
4-0 FC time.
He wouldn't play together at all. It'd be one on, one off. And then there was a time when Sanchez came in. There was a time we had Lukaku as a striker, and one of them would be on. It was usually.
Look at that time when Sanchez come in. It was probably Martial's best time at the club. Goal scoring.
I don't think we've ever really got
Martial. That was Martial's season. Yeah. Where he would have got 20 goals and
he would have got into the World Cup and got a winner's medal just for sitting on the bench.
And he, up to that point, him dropping him once we signed him, I think it was like, is it 7 goals in 9? Mm. Playing absolutely mint. And
free player in a month.
Yeah, and absolutely mint. And then he just backdoors him.
He got double figures assists.
I can never get my head around that. Never.
I never got over Jose taking him off against Chelsea. And I used to stick up for Jose all the time. But you remember when he got a brace against Stamford Bridge?
The 2-2 game.
And he took him off. Yeah. And you can even see him at the touchline explaining it to him like, oh, you know. I just thought, why? 10 minutes
well,
ago.
Well, you know, Marcel, I just fucking hate
it. What? You're tearing them a new one and it's my old club and I really want to win, but I'm going to take you off and bring
our best player off. Yeah.
And then they get a last minute. We were all over him. Yeah. I know it sounds daft, but it just stays with me that. And I think like that was him. Jose is just like, I've had enough of this shit. Like, you know, McTominay in centre back and all that nonsense. It was like, right, I'm going to take Martial's doing too well. I'm taking him off. Right, we've got another sponsor here. Yes, mate. Listen,
balling.
We need to pay these Alecky bills.
Get more plugs in bathrooms.
We've Beer 52.
Oh yes,
back. Don't forget you've been sent some Beer 52 as well, haven't you? My missus has been drinking this because I don't drink, but she does. Basically, if you don't know about Beer 52,
she has to live in with you. To be fair,
that's very true. Very true. Beer 52 are like a craft beer company. So what they do is they send exclusive craft beers out to you, and they've sent us 8 exclusive craft free beers from around the world. So they travel the world and they send you ones from different themes. So themes have been from Germany to Korea, Norway, South Africa. And they're an independent UK beer company, and what you do is you sign up for it and they send you a crate of beer. So you know, there's no, so you're not locked in, you can leave at any time, and you can
discount
get
discount codes.
Yeah, I've got discount codes and all that. So your first box is sent to you the next day and it contains beer from all over Europe, so you'll have pale ales and lagers and everything and all that good stuff. So if you want to check out our unique offer with Beer 52, it's www.beer52.com/devils. So the link is in the description. Check it out.
And you have to be 18 plus, remember?
Yeah, 18 plus, well remembered.
Drink responsibly.
Maka. Drink responsibly. But our listeners will get an extra 2 unmissable beers free.
You might need more than 6 on Sunday.
Yeah, that could be a good way to sort of relax after
get
that.
Get all
game.
The streets signed up and throw them all together in a big box. Stuck in about half 2. That's
a good idea, that. Yeah?
Go half 4, we'll look like
BF
Brazil.
BF52 could supply your party. Yeah. Just get the whole street to sign up.
There
you
go,
all get
man.
8 free beers.
BF52 street party. All you need to do is cover the $4.95 for postage. Check it out in the description. We need to wrap up actually soon, because despite the fact you just got here, we have been going for about 40 minutes.
What did you talk about today?
Sorry?
What did you talk about before there?
Games with Ireland and racism.
Oh,
we, God. You know, spoke about...
Ron Atkinson's at it again, is he?
Yes. We spoke about Bulgaria, about what went on there, mate. I'm sure you'll be...
You know what, yeah?
Go on,
I thought,
quickly.
I thought Ian Wright was bang on yesterday.
That's what I was
in
saying.
What he said. And I think Greg Clark was also right in what he said, apart from the bit where he pandered to UEFA. I think he kind of nailed it and said, look, we've got our own issues in our own country. We can't just, you know, pretend it's not our issue as well. And I was glad someone stood up and said that from England, from the FA. Because
it's
far
like
too many times
over there, is it? Like it's,
yeah.
You know, when it's bad incidents.
And like it may be in those countries, there's more organised groups of these fascists that do it. But in England, we still have the issues. We still have 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever. But so I'm glad they didn't just say it's a them issue and not us, because that's the way to resolve it.
And we shouldn't disparage Eastern Europeans, should we, Maka?
No, because today, one actually said.
I will not have Eastern Europeans criticise on this show.
No, but let's be real. Like, I think I'd still go to Bulgaria tomorrow.
And you know what,
I'd still go to Spain. I'd still go to Italy. Like, you see those,
some of the people criticising Bulgarians were being racist towards them.
Yeah, so it's like, this is the thing. Like, I think when people are in football stadiums, they feel enabled.
Yeah.
They feel like they can do stuff and just get away with it. When really, they kind of can in football stadiums. It's the kind of mental thing. But I was saying this in a video I did that, like, if at Old Trafford, a bloke in W3 102 or whatever was being racist every week, the club would be able to ban his season tickets.
Yeah.
So these nations clearly know who they're selling tickets to.
Of course.
Let's not pretend they don't. It's just that they try and mask over it. Yeah. Until UEFA and FIFA start taking real action, nothing's going to really happen, do you know what I mean?
No.
So, But I thought Southgate and the lads handled it quite well.
You do know, aren't you, Southgate?
I just wish they walked off the pitch. Mm. Really, like, I feel that was the chance.
Yeah, that was.
To really say. But then Tyrone Mings is making his international debut. Yeah. Do you think he wants to walk off the pitch? He'd rather say, you know, if the game's going hard, you're losing, they'd probably be like, you know what, we can't play in these circumstances, let's walk off. Because it's a walkover, it's easier for them to say, let's just fuck these lot up on the pitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's easier. Yeah. If they were playing against top flight Spain and the Spanish fans are going mad and
That would almost be better in a way. You know, like you 1-0 down. Right?
I've had enough minutes
of getting abusive. I'm not having it. I'm off. Like, too
bad. But the thing is, people said, if they would have come off the pitch, then they would have lost the game. Do you think UEFA giving them a 3-0 defeat would have just went, we would have let that go?
No.
It would have been, because the game was so dead, like 4-0 up, it was the perfect time to just say, but then I understand, like, players don't want to do that. We shouldn't be expecting 19, 20, 21-year-old lads to resolve this issue.
No, we were saying that about a lot of these. People forget these are kids, a lot of them. The youngsters, do you know what I mean? I know not children, but you know what I mean? They're very young, and they shouldn't have to be dealing with all that sort of pressure as well. I think sometimes, you know, we need to look out for them a bit more. So, yeah, agree with everything you're saying.
Like, I'd still go to Bulgaria. I'd still go to, because I don't think these countries, they'll have racist issues like England does, but they won't have. I'd still go to all those countries.
Webby's got his mate coming over, haven't you? Uncle Bulgaria coming over. So it's not. See,
and today,
text me last night.
An Eastern European lad saved my bacon.
Because you don't know. Maka, who's 30 years old, doesn't know how to change
a
tyre.
Now listen, I knew how to change a tyre.
Yeah.
It was just a very slow process with me doing it. I have to overthink everything. And I think this guy was sat in his lorry for about 10 minutes just looking at me thinking, what is this brown fella doing? Like, what is he doing? Let me go and help this clown. Yeah. And then he went and helped me. He did it in about 2 minutes. Wouldn't even take a coffee that I offered him after.
So I did well getting offered a coffee out
and
of
then like, Jesus. And then like, turn around to put my wheel away. He's gone. I thought,
Not all heroes wear capes.
See? Hey,
there you go.
There are stories.
Another thing as well, shout out to our Nigerian listeners.
Shout them out. Yeah.
Because Jane in the office was speaking to me earlier and she's like, oh, my family in Nigeria in Lagos always going on about you guys.
Yeah. I love, we got loads of African followers.
So I said I'd give them a shout out.
I want to go to Africa.
Have you never been?
My cousin lives in Kenya in Mombasa, so I'm going to go to Mombasa.
I stopped off in Kenya.
We went to South Africa, but I feel we were in a place that had armed guards. We weren't in real Africa. We were sheltered. We were living with Ryan Giggs. Like, let's be real here. Ryan Giggs doesn't see the real South Africa.
Not like me. When I went to South Africa, I was in Soweto.
You get me?
In the ghetto.
I want to go there.
Stand in the shanty towns. It was just like being
back in Salford. But we couldn't take Nick to them places. Shit himself.
He's got a bootle. There you go. There's your shanty town. Gets a boot on Sunday morning.
I didn't work in Croxteth for a little while, reporting.
Unlucky.
Go on, Wally.
Plenty of fires that night, weren't they, Jake?
Hey, Wally of the week.
I am Adam O'Connor.
Start with Adam.
Go on, Adam. Wally of the week. Give me something original, man. Don't just say Bulgarian fans, because I know you're not like that.
Yeah, I don't know his name. Have you seen the clip on Twitter of the match where he grabbed his hand and punched him in his face? Have you seen that? No one's seen it. It was on Twitter the other day, and it was a throw-in for a team. It was a European or a qualifier. The centre-forward's obviously to the thrower. So the defender's behind him. He's got the centre-forward's arm and punched in his face and hit the deck. Now, people will see it, and unbelievable. It was hilarious.
What game was that in?
It was a qualifier, mate.
That might be my favourite, but I think he gets Wally of the week.
Yeah
definitely. How he's got his arm. I give him a whack in the face to try and get him sent off.
Apart from the racists, are there any?
Do you know who my Wally of the week is? Right. And I respect what they're doing.
Can I just say Jim White again?
You caught on it, fair enough.
Jim White.
I respect what they're doing, right? I'm all for protesting and all that. But the Extinction Rebellion person that glued her hands to the floor and then couldn't get a backpack off?
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, have you seen it?
Mate, I can...
Come on.
I understand trying to save the world.
No, I'm with it. I'm with the protest.
I'm with that, but like...
If you're going to glue your hands to the floor...
crazy stuff, man.
At least think about what you're doing tonight.
They're all drugged up out there, like... And I feel like they're all, like... There's this section of people that, like, travel to Goa and India and stuff, and then they grow dreads and... beat drums
double barrel names and all that.
It's most of them guys that are doing it that are taking a gap year and that. Like, I understand fighting for climate change and climate control and all that stuff, but gluing yourself to the pavement is a bit wet. And then getting in and getting in the way of working class people trying to get to work.
Hey, come on. Do you know what I mean?
Can't like, and when you hear most of these guys' interviews, they can't coherently tell you why they're there because they're all
after all that spice. To be fair,
but I agree with him. Like, the world's a messed up place.
No, it is.
You have people like all these world leaders telling me to switch my fridge off at night, and well, don't switch your fridge off. At night.
Don't switch your fridge off.
That's disaster. That's craziness. Switch your telly off at night and things like that. And you're thinking, my TV.
What world leaders telling you to switch your fridge off at night?
Like, it's what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's like we're the problem. Like, you like shooting all these rockets into the sky and doing all these mad stuff ain't affecting, but me and my fridge are. Bell ends. They're actually. They're Wally of the Week.
Right, Mac is saying all the world leaders. Go on, Carl, quickly, we're running out of time.
But mainly the Tories.
Yeah. I'm not going to go over person. I'm going to go over that fucking light. I'm going to go over appliance. That light. Wally, that light is the Wally of the Week.
The light is the Wally of the Week. So,
Our Lecky Bill
is the Wally of the Week. Don't forget to check out the Beer 52 and the Athletic. Links are said. This has been the Full Time Devils podcast. Number 30, a milestone. 30th episode.
I'm 30 years old.
I know, man. So
that's
am I.
Depressing, isn't
so
it?
So me and Webby.
I'm almost there.
You're younger than me.
I'm 28, mate. What are you fucking trying to say there?
You got about six kids.
Yeah, you started
six,
early.
Seven.
Yeah,
four.
He's got a football team already.
Almost. Yeah, when they get older, I'm going to play football side.
We need them.
Yeah, we do. Mate, we need
keep
to
them in training. Them.
Yeah, they're all in training now, so.
Good.
Seen that video of Jamie St. Patrick waking up his son with the gun?
Yep.
That's me to my child, football training.
Get up now.
Get up, you shithead. Time to go make me some billions.
There you go. That's been Adam McCullough. I don't even know where to go with that one.
Thanks to the truck driver that saved me.
Yeah, thanks for that truck services. Driver who's helped him out there. Carl, don't forget to check Carl on that United family. Webby, everyone knows who he is. You'll see him out and about as always. I've been Jay, and this has been a full-time
Devils. Is that Wes Brown's birthday party this week?
Me? You had Wes Brown round his mum's after. You're picking up presents.
Yeah, his birthday card.
Can you tell Wes come round mine for Christmas?
I'm mine.
Private party.
Get all of him.
It's Mason's birthday this month.
There you go. Get him to come out.
Happy birthday, Mason.
Carl's house to give him a birthday present. Don't forget to subscribe. Check us out on Spotify, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, iTunes. Am I missing anything out? That's
Mason's
it.
Mason's going to get eight beers off Beer 52 for his birthday.
Yeah, when he's 18, obviously.
If his dad signs up for it.
I'll sign up for him. This has been a Full Time Devils podcast. Thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.